Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Oh, gosh, I got to remember to pull the microphone over by me. Gosh, I'm sitting here thinking about so many things. Welcome to Trigger Talk this morning. Okay, I got to take this. Hold on a second. It'll make a funny noise. Okay, I have to take the microphone condom off, okay? It's a, it's actually a like a pop screen thing, and Derek must use it during the week. Do you, Derek?
Actually, no, I don't use it during the week. It usually has just been sitting there basically since we last did live programs for the most part about a year ago.
I take it off every week, and it just sits there. It's actually deteriorating a little bit. And at home, when I'm doing the show from a remote bunker, I use a pop screen, and that's interesting. And a pop screen is a thing so that when you're talking into a microphone, the air doesn't go pop, 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 like that. You don't hear the air popping on the microphone. So I talk past it, and so I try not to have to. And I like the I kind of feel the pop screen or the microphone condoms, we call they. They give you a little softer tone, and I like the sharp edge of Trigger Talk. So here we are on September 11th. Can you believe it's been 20 years? And actually, by now, the towers had fallen. And, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but I do remember, and I'm sure like everybody else remembers, where you were when that happened. And I can remember I was sitting in a conference room at Ford Motor Company in Dearborn, Michigan, and we're in a conference and a meeting. It was a Lincoln meeting, and at the time I was the assistant chief engineer for the Crown Vic Grand Marquis and the town car. So I'm sitting there and. You wore beepers back then, okay? Remember beepers? Remember the little sit on your belt? And we're in the conference room, and everybody's beeper started just going off, beep beep beep, you know. And you look and you pick it up and look at it and read, because it would have like a news feed on it, and it would give. Hasn't technology changed since then? I mean, with all the smartphones and things like that. But in just little digital letters and, you know, stuff, LCD screen, it said, aircraft strikes World Trade Center. And everybody thought, oh, geez, you know, somebody sightseeing or lost their way or something like that. And then a little bit later, we got, there was another beep. And one of the guys looked at it. He got up and he said, I got to go. And we thought, what's going on? And so at that point, we thought we just had, you know, like a small plane that struck the World Trade Center. But then we all started getting more beeps, and we found out that there was a second one. But the guy, his name was Rich Lauer, and I'll never forget, it was a beep because his brother worked on the World Trade Center on one of the top floors. And he, was, of course, very concerned about it, went to find out what was going on. Well, it turned out it took him a day, but he found out that, can you talk about luck? The guy had stopped off at a donut shop to pick up donuts to take into the office. And because of that, he was late. And so he did not get into the office before the plane struck. And so I just, you know, you think about the things that happen, that the fate that goes on you, and you think about how fortunate you are that you've escaped this and your family. How many of us have gone through our entire lives without a major tragedy like that? You just can't, you sit here and you go, I am so lucky and blessed. And, also that, so many people have given so much. I mean, you've been watching all the tributes and stuff, and you remember maybe if anything, that will come out of the 20th anniversary or remembrance of the event will be a renewed appreciation for law enforcement and fire departments and stuff like that. I back then they were all our heroes, and 18 years later they are totally the dogs of the earth. It just makes you so furious how things have been politicized like that. Let's see what's going on. September 11th, the Misaki Conversation Conservation Club Gun Show in Lake City, Michigan. And here we have, and I'm going to go to this either today or tomorrow, the Huron Gun Collector Show is starting up again, and that's at the Washtenaw Farm Council ground. So right here in Ann Arbor, folks. And by the way, the football game's not till tonight, right, Derek?
Right. Yep. Michigan's playing at home tonight here in Ann Arbor at 8 o'clock.
So you got plenty of time to go to the gun show and still go to the football game. So, although remember, you'll have to unstrap yourself before you go to the football game because, they don't allow that. So, let's see. We've got the original Grand Rapids Gun and Knife Show in Grand Rapids at the 4 Mile Showplace and the Harbor Petoskey Gun Show at the Emmett County Fairgrounds in Petoskey, Michigan. So, Ohio's got a ton. And actually, the first one, I love this one. I've mentioned it before. It's actually right on the border, and it's the Florence Gun and Knife Show. And I just cannot say Florence, Kentucky without smiling because I love that water tower. Y'all know what I'm talking about, y'all, where when you go into Kentucky and there's a big white and red water tower and it says Florence, y'all. I think that is so funny. So let's see. We got the Medina Gun Show in Medina, Ohio, the Painesville Gun Show, Lake County Gun Show in Painesville, Ohio, and the Winchester Arms Collector Midwestern Showplace, OGCA Invitational, at Wilmington, Ohio. Missouri's got a ton. Warsaw Gun and Knife Show, the Zander Gun, Warsaw is in Warsaw, Missouri, the Zander 3-Day Gun Show in Fayetteville, Arkansas, Franklin County Gun Show in Washington, Missouri, and the Independence Gun Show in Independence, Mo, at the Cable Dahmer Arena. Cable Dahmer? Is that like Jeffrey Dahmer? No, the Cable Dahmer Arena. I would change the name of that arena if it was me. Ozark, and then Mountain Grove Gun Show at the Ozarks YMCA in Mountain Grove in New York. Hallelujah! Has some now, finally. And Hamburg Fairgrounds in Hamburg, New York, and the Middletown Firearms and Knife Firearm and Knife Show at Orange County Fairgrounds in Middletown, New York. So lots of things going on. I want to say we're back when it comes to gun shows. And I would imagine, given the conservative nature of gun shows, that there will be a lot of tributes and flags and things going on at all these gun shows about 9/11. Let's see. Do not forget that next week is the NRA Foundation annual Friends of the NRA dinner at Tri-County Sportsman's League. And Theron and I are both going to be there, along with a lot of other people. There's, 200 of our best friends, probably. But there will be all sorts of gun drawings and prizes and stuff like that. And I don't know I should have called Gary Knechtel beforehand and found out if there's more tickets available, but there usually are. So get a hold of Gary Knechtel, and he's at 734-218-0381 to get your tickets for that. And Theron and I will both be there, so we'll be looking for you. By the way, something else going on at Tri-County. There is a Tier 3 IDPA match that started yesterday, and it continues with the top-level shooters today and tomorrow. And this is a big deal. These are like regional matches where they have the top shooters from all around. And they've got, how many different... I just read it here. They have a ton of different venues set up. And 11... fun and challenging stages, which is a venue like where they have, you go in, you go like in a garage through a door, and it's like somebody's in your garage, and they're they're attacking you or whatever, and you have to take out the bad guys. I remember one that I shot one time years ago where you walked into a situation where there was like a counter at a convenience store, and you were holding a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread, and you had to drop your gun or drop your bread and milk and then get your gun out of your holster and take out the bad guys and not take out the good guys, because they'll have targets up that'll have like a gun or a knife on it. That's a bad guy. And it'll have, if the hands are up, then it's a good guy. So you get penalized for shooting good guys. So you don't want to shoot the good guys. So at any rate, it is something that you can go and observe. Make sure you take your eye protection and your hearing, but you can go and watch this and see if you are interested in becoming. Now, this one is a match where you have to already be an IDPA member and stuff, but to shoot. But in normally the different matches they have during the week or during the month, they will have open times where newcomers can come and shoot and be able to see if they're interested in joining. So, really neat thing. Let's see, we're still sitting here at, because we got new numbers last week, 760,450 CPL holders in Michigan, so that's pretty darn good. And I want to say I wore in commemoration, so what's on your hip? Okay, I put this challenge out last week. I said, in honor of 9-1-1, 9-11, I'm wearing a 1911 today, okay? So I'm going to ask you all, did any of you decide to wear your 1911s today in honor of the 9-1-1? And so, I mean, they don't get any more American than a 1911. And so I'll tell you what I'm wearing today. And by the way, this thing weighs 42 ounces empty. I've forgotten how nice these small polymer guns are. They don't weigh very much, okay? Well, this is a big old stainless steel. It's a Sig Sauer, and actually they called it Sig Arms back then. It was one of the early ones back in, I was a new adopter, I guess, back in like 2005. And it's a Sig Sauer GSR, which stands for Granite Series Rail, although this one does not have a rail on it, and it's called a Revolution 1911. And it is just a gorgeous gun. I'm looking at it right now. I've unholstered it. I've got it sitting safely on the desk here. I'll watch it and make sure it doesn't, jump out and shoot anybody, because, that's what the anti-gun people always blame the gun, not the idiot behind the trigger, okay, when these gangbangers and drug gangs are shooting all these people. It is a solid stainless steel gun. It's bead blasted finish. It's beautiful. It has a skeletonized trigger and hammer. It's got an extended beaver tail and a raised pad on the grip safety. That's really nice. Novak tritium sights. It's got beautiful checkering on the back strap, which is a flat mainspring housing, and actually much finer checkering across the front strap, which is really, really nice. It's got black wood engraved grips. It's a Sig Sauer, and they've got a diamond pattern, and then also just gorgeous checkering and grain on them. I got two Wilson Combat mags with me, 8-round mags, and I'm loaded with the Hornady Zombie Max, okay? That's also an old round, but you know what? They actually did pretty well in testing, and I was looking up this morning. I thought, I'll look that up again, and I was looking up some gelatin testing, and it did outstanding in ballistic gelatin. Not as well in our bone test, but it did acceptable in our bone test, because we did actually test some zombie maxes when Tom from Northfield Township and I did the 45 testing. So at any rate, I'm challenging anybody out there, if they've got their 1911 on, to call me and tell me about it. And actually, even if you don't have a 1911, okay, so you're wearing a Glock or something like that, call me and tell me what's on your hip today. And by the way, that's one of those freedoms that I was reading a story It's interesting when you see all the stories about people and remembrances of 1911 and stuff. And it was one of the things that actually, I want to say, 9/11 tended to get people changing their mindset about preparedness and stuff. And they thought, I really need to have a gun to prepare myself, you know, to make sure that I defend ourselves if we need it. And actually, there was a story last night on the news about that where it changed the whole way that everybody prepared for potential disasters, you know, whether it's something in the urban environment like in New York, or if it's a hurricane or a tornado or something like that. Let's see, the meme of the day, and I love this one. Okay, this could be true. Could be true. It's got a picture of a guy, and they show his face, and he looks kind of confused, okay? Looks like an athlete a little bit. He's confused, and it says, athletes at the 2028 Summer Olympics in Chicago trying to determine which gunshot is the starting pistol. Now, you got to think about that a minute. There are so many shootings and stuff going on. If I know I got to explain it, that then you got to see it, okay? You got to be there to see it. But athletes at the 2028 Summer Olympics in Chicago trying to determine which gunshot is the starting pistol. Now, that's funny. I don't care who you are, okay? That there's so many gunshots in Chicago that they will have difficulty determining which is the starting pistol for the races. So that's pretty good. Okay. Let's see. Probably the big news for this week politically is the White House pulling David Chapman's nomination as the head of the ATF. I mean, this guy was obviously, and actually the story talks about it. The Senate Majority Leader McConnell tweeted, absurd that a vocal opponent of Americans' constitutional rights was ever even picked to run the ATF. And then, Republican Steve Daines of Montana said, I've been opposed to David Chapman leading the ATF from the start. He's an anti-Second Amendment gun-grabbing radical that should not lead the agency that regulates firearms. The defeat of David Chapman is a victory for all Americans who value the right to self-defense. And I really agree with that. I want to say you look into his history, and of course now Biden and everybody, he blames the GOP and the NRA for stonewalling this application and blah blah blah. Well, come on, Joe. It's like picking the fox to watch the hen house. Okay, I don't care. It'd be like us, and I'm no fan of Wayne LaPierre. Okay, I do think he has been a bad leader of the NRA in that he's all about himself and stuff like that. And I think the NRA is far more has far more strength in its members and people than it does in guys like Wayne LaPierre. But that'd be like picking Wayne LaPierre to be the head of the ATF, okay? He is so pro-gun that he could never get anything through. You need somebody who is pro-law enforcement and pro-constitution. I don't care if they are what side of the aisle they're from. I don't know why they call them blue dog Democrats, but there are Democrats out there that actually believe in the Second Amendment rights of people. Okay, they're not all. As a matter of fact, I almost wore my shirt today, but I was afraid that I guess I shouldn't be afraid, but it says it's called from a place called Shield Tactical, and it says you can shove your gun rights up your, and it shows a picture of a Democrat donkey symbol. Okay, so shove your gun rights up your donkey, and I almost wore that today. But it's not really true. Not all Democrats are anti-gun, okay? And you want to say they're not anti-Second Amendment. They're not anti-self-defense. They're not anti-hunting. They may have other things we disagree with them on. And actually, I want to say there's a lot of people that break ranks with the Democratic Party when it comes to union stuff and things like that. I mean, look what's going on with all the the unions are not happy about the vaccine mandates out there. They're not happy about all the hundreds of thousands of immigrants that are brought in to just take the jobs, okay? So they're breaking ranks, and they're starting to be a little bit more conservative, if you can believe that. And that includes gun rights. So, okay, let's see. Now, this is a story that was updated last week and I didn't get to, but it's interesting. It's an interesting story in Saginaw County about a federal lawsuit that was filed against the Saginaw County Sheriff. And it turns out that, there was a thing several years ago, in 2017, where they were called to a domestic violence thing at a dispute at a cabin. Like I quote, hunting cabin. And they ended up arresting the guy who did the domestic violence thing. But the cabin belonged to other people, to a relative of this guy. And at the cabin, they had about 12 guns that were there, like in gun racks and things like that. Well, the sheriff seized them all. And they seized them all for safekeeping, okay? For safekeeping. And so then when they went and the guys ended up getting convicted of his misdemeanor assault or whatever it was and did probation for it and stuff. And at the end of that, when it was discharged in 19, they said, the guys that owned the cabin said, well, first of all, we weren't even there and those guns were not even used. Why did you keep those guns? Okay. And they said, well, for safekeeping, okay? None of the guns were involved in the assault or any other crimes, okay? And so what happened is they actually did some research, and they've gotten, you know, emails and notes and stuff from the sheriff and from the chief or the assistant prosecutor of Saginaw County, and he wrote on it, and he said, the longer we keep the guns, the better. Okay. When the gun owners asked for the guns back, they just said, too bad. Now, wait a minute. That's theft. Okay. So actually, they filed a suit now against the Saginaw County Sheriff and are filing that these guns have been apparently they still have them somewhere, we hope. Okay, they might be in the sheriff's gun collection. I don't know. But the point is that they'd had no right to take them in the first place, but they were just taking them for safekeeping, and then they won't give them back. That's not legal. So we're going to keep following that story and see what happens with that. I want to say, and even the judges they've talked to, well, they're okay. The people have a right to file a suit, but, you know, I don't know that we're going to discuss it any further. It's like, oh, come on. I got to tell you, 12 guns at a minimum would be probably $2,500 or $3,000 worth of guns, and that's no small change, okay? And they could be good, you know. Actually, what they said, too, is some of these guns were family heirlooms, you know, like grandpa's deer hunting rifle and stuff like that. And so why in the heck should they just go roll over and go, oh, well, you know, they're just old guns, you know. A lot of those things have a lot of memories, okay? Now, this is something I wanted to talk about new. Remington has emerged from its bankruptcy. And they have redone one of their famous rounds that people are used to. Remember Remington Corlock and the green and yellow box, you know, kind of like the bottom tier of hunting ammo? Well, and I'll tell you a story about that, but they just redid it. We'll talk about that when we get back. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at WAM Talk 1600. We'll be back in a minute.
Wham! Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back, and we've got a couple of calls here. We've got David from Livonia about David Chipman. Hi, David. How are you? What's your comment?
Hi, Dick. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I've been following this Chipman thing on Guns and Gadgets website, for I don't know how long now. He made an interesting point yesterday in that even though he's not going to be the head of the ATF, they're talking about slipping him into a position as a gun czar. And, that's just the way these people do business, I think. And I think we still have to watch this guy.
I have not heard that. So that just came out yesterday, huh?
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's interesting when they do all these things and they put them in as drug czars and gun czars. And, you know, that even that word has a connotation to it, doesn't it? The czar.
Oh, not only that, but, you know, then he doesn't have to go through the approval process and all that. He's just appointed by Biden, by the administration, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, I wonder what authority he'll have, though. That will be, and we'll see what happens with the... Of course, it could be they get just a puppet that's acceptable in ATF, and this guy then dictates it. I'm going to watch that really careful. Thank you for bringing that to my attention, David.
No problem.
Okay.
Love your show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for listening today. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Yep. Bye-bye. Okay, we have got Tom from Northfield Township, who is obviously accepting the 1911 challenge. What's up, Tom?
Yeah, hi, Dick. I wanted to call in because, well, I'm not actually having a 1911 on me.
Okay.
I've got my P365.
Okay.
But I'm sitting right next to my tractor out in the garage, and that has my 1911 in it. I got that, and I'm holding on to it right now.
Okay.
That's that Para USA all-stainless steel double stack.
I remember seeing that. That's a nice gun. That is a, you know, I always liked the Paras, and they had some of them have double action triggers. There's ones that there was a small one called the Warthog that I always thought was interesting. So do you really like that Para?
Yeah, I've got green laser mounted on it.
Okay.
And being double stacked. Now this thing's got 15 rounds in it.
That's got to be heavy.
And you want to talk about heavy. That's why I'd never carry it.
Well, I got to say, I don't normally carry a 1911, but I said I was going to today, so I did. And not only did first of all, I had to scrounge because I can't find, I'm so used to my nice holsters that are like inside the waistband and stuff like that. I had to scrounge around and dig up a holster to wear it. So then it's an outside the waistband, so it's huge out there. I can see why, you know, it's a duty-sized gun. It's a combat-sized gun, and you don't really want to try and conceal this thing. I've got it under a T-shirt, but it's still... It's awful big and heavy.
Yeah, but the reason I carry that on my tractor is, I mean, it's heavy and everything, but with the magazine that I have with it and the gun, I've got 29 rounds that I'm carrying in that tractor, and this is a long-range gun. This gun is good for 100 yards.
Yeah, they really are. Mine has got, I like it. It's got a match barrel and match trigger, and it's got, actually, I noticed during the break I was looking at it, and I just realized that my night sights are kind of dim, so if completely dark. So I think I'm going to be looking for a new set of sights for this thing.
Yep.
But that's
why I carry that. And because I've had experience in the past when I've been out cutting grass, people have pulled up to the front of the house that had no good intentions, and they figured that nobody was home because nobody answered the doorbell.
Yeah.
They'd drive around to the back, and then they'd see me out on my tractor cutting grass, and they'd do a big loop through the yard and go full throttle down the driveway to get out of there.
Yeah, I know. You kind of live out in the country out there, and you've had a couple incidents like that. So
I have. That's why I carry that with me.
Yep.
And a lot of times, not only will I have the 1911, but I'll have that P365 with me, too.
Yeah.
And the tractor actually makes good cover. If I raise my mower deck up and get behind the tractor, bullets will not go through that thing. That's effective cover.
Yeah, it is. It is. I actually have a mount on my tractor, my New Holland, that I had a holster. I forget what kind it was, but it was one that it snaps in for a 92FS, so I could carry a Beretta 9mm on the tractor when I was driving, and it was just right in front of me, so it was kind of cool. So, well, thanks for calling today, Tom, and you concur on my Zombie Max choice for this?
Oh, yeah, that is an excellent choice, because that was one of the few that did very well on the test.
Yeah,
and I think it surprised both of us when it did.
It did, and I think it's because it's 185 grain, so it's got some speed behind it, some velocity. So
yeah, it zips along, and it performed well right in, you know, not only the tissue test, but in the simulator bone and dirt tissue test, that expanded just fine.
Yep. Yep. Okay, well, thanks for calling today, Tom. I'll talk to you next week, okay?
Okay.
Yep, take it easy. Bye-bye.
Yep.
We have got John from Gaines on Bump Stocks. Hi, John, how are you?
Fine, sir. Yourself?
I'm good.
It was an article reported over at ammoland.com. It seems as if this Marine had two bump stocks, and they charged him under three different articles under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And a three-panel military courts ruled that bump stocks are not machine guns.
Yeah, I know. That's actually kind of, again, that was the ATF with that rule, and that was, but that was Trump actually reacting to Vegas, and I want to say they clearly are not bumps. They're not machine guns, because they are a separate device. It doesn't change the mechanics of the gun at all. I'm glad that the military court did that. I had not heard that. That's a good story.
Now, it's my understanding of the law that military courts stand above all state courts. Of course, they're beneath United States Supreme Court, but what they are equal to in the federal court system, that I am not sure of.
That's interesting.
A regular federal court, or maybe at the level of a federal court of appeal, or somewhere in between there.
That's interesting. You know what? I'll have to look at that and see if I can find any more info on that. I think that was an overreaction by the Trump administration, and I do think that that if you get the right people in there, some of these things will get fixed. The bump stocks, actually, right now, I was going to mention just 2 days ago. Two or three days ago, they closed the comment period on pistol stocks for ARs, and so we're anxiously awaiting to what they say on that. I actually have an article here, big long letter about a guy who goes into explanation on it, and it's a guy I had met. I met him out at SHOT Show back in 2016, and he goes by Iraq Veteran 8888, who is on YouTube videos and stuff, and he writes a very compelling letter about why the ATF should not rule them as against the law and going against the short-barreled rifle things and stuff like that. So very interesting. Again, though, if we get if they get somebody like David Chipman in as a czar, like a gun czar, or in a puppet in the ATF position, then we'll never get these things back. So, yeah,
it was interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I want to.
Here's the good part.
Okay.
Biden administration dumps off $87 billion worth of high-tech military gear on a known terrorist organization, and yet wants to strip we the people of our God-given natural rights.
Yep, I know. It's
hypocrisy
pretty
much.
Yep, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Of course, he's not pulling the strings. Somebody's pulling his strings. So I don't think he gets to decide whether he wants tapioca or butterscotch pudding, actually. But okay.
I wonder if he has any strings to pull.
Well, thanks, John. Nice talking to you today. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. We've got Ed from Ypsilanti on What's on Your Hip. What's on your hip, Ed?
I've got a Luger in .22 caliber on my hip. And like Tom, you know, if I wear it outside, it's good for taking out squirrels.
Okay.
But also, should I face a greater threat, I'm comforted by the fact that it's the same bore as the M16 I carried when I was in the military. Well, I wasn't in the military. I was in the Air Force.
It is the same bore, but it doesn't have the same energy. We know that, right?
Oh, that's so disappointing.
Although, I want to say, if you carried one of those 5.7 by 28, you know, whether it's the new Kel-Tec or the Ruger 57 or something, those are outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't afford the ammo, much less the gun.
So is your Luger a Stoger Luger?
Yes, it is. I think I've shown it to you a couple years ago before.
I remember those.
Beautiful gun, made in America.
I remember those, and a friend of mine, Don, had one of those when we were kids. And, you know, I want to say, of course, we were probably teenagers at the time, and we had gotten a Stoger Luger somehow. And, man, did we plink with that. I was just talking about that with my friend John the other day, too. So
I got some .22 ammo a couple of years ago, and I was interested in buying a .22 to go with it because, you know, I didn't have one. And so I called up this shop, and I said, do you have a .22 pistol? And the guy says, yeah, I have a, I thought he said Ruger.
Okay.
And that's what I was pretty much looking for, like, you know, a Mark IV or something like that. And so I went down there, and I'm looking at this old beat-up Luger in a case for $2,500 in 9mm. And I'm thinking, boy, I'd like to have that, but not that beat up and not at that money. And so I turn around. The guy says, what can I do for you? I said, well, I came in to look at that Ruger we talked about. He says, I don't have a Ruger. We talked about a Luger. And I said, well, dude, I can't afford that, and that's 9mm. He says, no, this. And he pulls his box out, original box from the 80s.
Yeah.
It's pristine Luger in .22, and I was $250. My wife let me have it.
What a bargain. That and you know what? What an outstanding gun. I remember it. It was so cool. And at that time, I think we had it in the 70s. I don't remember what years they made that. But at the time, you know, we were still young and excited about, I mean, watching Rat Patrol and Combat and all that kind of stuff.
The Great Escape.
Yeah, all those guns, all those movies with Lugers in them. So,
hey, look, besides that, I got to correct you. You mentioned preparing for tornadoes earlier, and we don't call them that anymore.
Oh, that's right. Joe said we don't call them that. What do we call them?
I haven't figured that one out yet.
Do we call him the Wizard of Oz, something or others, or I don't know. So
yeah, a Biden event. Hey, one more thing. I don't mean to take up your whole show, but you were talking about bump stops as the previous caller. And I remember going into a Cabela's, and they had a Gatling gun rig for two 10-22s with a crank handle.
Yeah, yeah, they had those kind of things. But those are, technically, I think those are not ruled that. I'd have to look into that.
The guy said they weren't NFA.
Yeah.
He said, you know, because it takes one crank to do one bullet.
Yeah, yeah. I remember a thing for two 10-22s. By the way, I just mentioned, or just was thinking about Ruger 10-22s. They just announced for all those lefties out there, they finally, after 50-some years, they've come out with a left-handed 10-22. So for any of you lefties out there, there's a and actually it's got even a different magazine that feeds the other direction. I mean, it's really kind of cool. So,
all right, talk to you later.
Yep, take it easy. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so let me see what we can blast through. We got another call. Bob from Ann Arbor. What's on your hip, Bob?
Yeah, so in honor of 9/11, I have my Ruger SR 1911 5-inch barrel.
Excellent.
And my lovely wife, who's an Air Force vet, is carrying her Kimber Eclipse 5-inch barrel.
Nice. So, very good. See, is that because I did a challenge last week, or just you thought also in honor of 9/11?
No, I missed your show last week, unfortunately, just honor of 9/11.
Well,
so, yeah.
So we think alike, okay? And
right.
You got to admit, they are awful heavy, aren't they?
Yeah, but I used to carry a Python every day, so I'm kind of used to it.
Yeah, I like guns to have some heft to it, but I had forgotten how heavy this one was. So.
Right. I'll tell you, when I go back to my Glock, it'll be a definite experience for sure.
Do you know what's amazing with the Glocks? And I always show this to people when they're asking about guns and wanting to buy things and stuff like that, and they bring up a Glock. I'll take a Glock out, and I'll take the slide off of it, and I'll hand them the gun portion of it, the receiver portion of it, and they're like, oh, my God, it weighs nothing. You know what I mean? The Glocks are, like, so light, it's unbelievable. So,
yeah,
it's pretty amazing different. And I want to say, I used to make fun of them, too, and called them Tupperware and stuff, but now I like polymer guns. I think I like all guns, but I like the polymer.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob, for calling. Appreciate you listening. Yep. Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Thanks.
You too. Bye. So, good. I'm glad. And see, he came to the same conclusion I did. He and his wife that in honor of 9/11, they're going to carry a 1911, a 1911. So, let's see. So I was talking about Core-Lock. I got so many things I want to get through today. But Remington just redid their Core-Lock ammunition to what they call Core-Lock tipped. Now, so it is a similar bullet, but it's got an aerodynamic tip on it, a green tip, of course. And I want to say the story I was going to tell is about a guy at deer camp, and it's an old guy, and he goes along with his son and his friends on the hunting trip, and he's got an old, 30-06, he never fails to get the biggest buck. And this year, they're all sitting around the campfire, and the guy goes, they're all comparing their fancy schmancy guns that they've got. And they said, so what'd you get that buck with? And the guy goes, oh, like old Winchester 70 and 30-06. Well, what ammo did you use? Oh, I always use cheapest in the store, the green and yellow box, the old Remington Core-Lock. And it was like $13.97 a box, okay, something like that. And you don't have to have the world's best stuff to especially if you're, at 50 to 100 yards. But the thing is that so Remington has upgraded it at least, so it's a little ballistically better than the old one. We've got Mark from Howell on What's on Your Lip, What's on Your Hip. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Great. I have some chips. I'm doing good.
Oh, Mark, you're cutting in and out on your cell phone. We can't hear you.
Oh, okay. How's that?
That's fine. Don't move.
Okay, I'm staying stationary. I know, like Theron says, Chinese phone here, North Korean phone.
Yeah.
A chapstick on my hip is I have a high standard premium line 357 mag with a 4-inch barrel. This is outside the Danes. They produce.
Oh, you're breaking up again. I hate to hear that because I wanted to hear what you got. And I said lip, so that was a good joke with your chapstick. So,
can you hear me now?
I can. Stay still. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm carrying a high standard premium line 357 Magnum with a 4-inch barrel. That's the ones, it's not the Dan Wesson, but it was the high standards they made.
Yep. Nice. So that's not a 1911 in honor of 9/11, but it's good to know that there's good old revolver guys out there too.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for taking my call, and have a good day.
Hey, and thanks for the texts I've been getting. Looks like you got a neat new gun.
Oh yes, yeah. I just picked up a AR-15 9mm out of Tennessee, manufacturer out of Tennessee. I picked up a few recently.
I know
got
you.
A a pre-banned AR-15 Colt with the Colt optics on it and everything.
Wow.
And I got a AK-47 out of Poland, or out of, yeah, Poland there, the armory in Poland. I can't think of their name offhand right now. I picked up a VKT-39, a Finnish Mosin-Nagant.
Yeah,
and a Chinese Model 10 SKF. And yeah, I've been picking up a few.
I saw that. Boy, it's gun day at Mark's place, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm not married, so I don't have to pass the muster with the wives out there, but I still have to, you know, maintain my budget. So now it's time to pay the piper, you know? And
yeah, I have a spouse, so yeah, those decisions are not mine alone, unfortunately. So, yep.
But anyways, keep up the good work there, and love listening to your show.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks. Take it easy. We'll talk to you later.
You
Thanks
too.
For calling today.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Let's see. We have got, I was going to talk about, let me see, much time left. I'll save this for next week. It's about a new Crimson Trace, kind of a bargain red dot that I saw, that I like Crimson Trace stuff. So I think that from the standpoint of a decent, inexpensive optic, it'll be a good choice. But let me, and I was going to tell you about how they tested it and stuff. Then I, let's see, the Iraq letter from, or Iraq, I'm not going to go to that. Because I only got a couple minutes left. I want to say we should pay attention to what's going on with the stocks, the pistol braces. I am not a user of one, but I understand how they can be helpful and needed by people. I was talking to my friend John this week, and he was talking about a new, I think it was a CZ Scorpion he picked up with a pistol stock on it and stuff. And it's like, wow, this is really cool. I need to pay more attention to the pistol stocks, but we'll see what happens with the whole ATF thing here. Then I was reading a story. Ruger is just about to relaunch the Marlin line. Remember, they bought Marlin. And there's a bunch of different guns that, and there are like six different Marlins, the story I was reading, where somebody said, man, I hope they bring these back. And these are some of them I'm aware of, and one of them that I would like them to bring back, I don't know if they will or not, because it competes with their 1022. But let's start first with the Marlin 336, which is an outstanding deer rifle. So I would think that they would want to bring that back, and I would hope they'd bring that back. There's a Model 30 also that they could bring back that is a cool lever action in 30-30 and et cetera. Here's one that I really would like to see them bring back, and that is the Marlin 39A, which is a full-size lever-action 22. It is an outstanding gun. They're very expensive, but maybe Ruger will bring the price down a little bit, but they've been an outstanding collectible for years, and now that they're out of production, I'm sure hoping that they're bringing them back. The model 1894, the 1895. There's one called a Levermatic, which I was not even aware of, but I'm interested, so I need to look into that in 22 Magnum. And I'd like to see them bring back the Marlin Model 60, which I think is an outstanding 22 tube-fed gun that is great for plinking and great for learning on for kids. So anyway, that's my wish list. I'll have to pay more attention and see what they bring back. I'll keep you posted in the future. At any rate, so everybody take some time today. Think about those who sacrificed on 9/11. Wear your 1911s with pride today. And also take care of your family, and remember, it's what's important, not all the politics. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at WHAM Talk 1600. I'll see you next week.